power potential. Here we are, 2020. Wow. Do you know that the Bible message is called good news? Of course you do. Well, maybe you don't. Some people don't know that the Bible message is called good news. Why is it called good news? It's really simple. Because the message of the Bible says that there will be beautiful things in your future. And it doesn't matter how rainy or snowy or how dark your present day is, the promise is that there will be beautiful things in your future. That's why it's called good news. Listen to this. I'm just going to play this for about 45 seconds. A little bit of volume, Nolan, on this one. This is all about new life. Just 40 seconds. You've heard this before.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
What's your impression of that, just the first 30 seconds of that song? Like, that guy is just really happy. Why is he happy? Because it's a new day, it's a new dawn. And he just, for whatever reason, the singer believes that he believes that the future's going to hold good things. The tomorrow, he's a kid. Well, Albert said that he's Canadian.
Yeah, for sure.
And he is too, isn't he? Michael Bublé. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, new possibilities. What, like, how would our lives be changed if we believed that tomorrow was going to hold beautiful things? And that we are filled with potential. Jesus said, and you know this, I make all things new. When my living water comes into your life, you become a new creature, a new being. It doesn't matter what past you've had before. It doesn't matter the things that you've had to suffer through before. You become a new thing when my living water enters into you and you make beautiful music. Now, there is a challenge to this. I'm going to show you a couple of texts, but just before I show you some verse, there's a huge challenge when we start to talk about being new things. Because for all of us, we've got stuff on this side of our lives, and then we've got stuff on this side of our lives. This is the side that we like. Like, this is the side that we don't want to change this stuff. This is the stuff of struggle that when we hear that things are going to be made new, that makes us really happy, because I want to get out of that struggle part of my life. But what about all this stuff that I don't want that stuff to change? And when Jesus says, I'm going to make you a new person, sometimes that means you have to give up stuff that you like, that are a part of your life. Now, that's for next week. We're going to talk about challenge next week. Because living up to potential means change. Just think about it. Like, think about if you have a potential that you haven't lived up to yet. It doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 80. If you just haven't lived up to something that you are capable of doing, that means to get there, you're going to have to change. Potential means change. Change can be scary sometimes. In the Bible, there's this prophet named Jeremiah that we just heard from. Jeremiah says a couple of different things that he's famous for. This is the first one from Jeremiah in what we call now chapter 29. I have plans for you. That's you. That's me. That's people. People who trust and people who listen to this word. God has plans for you, to bless you, to prosper you, never to hurt you. God's plan, which is ancient, is to give us individually and collectively new life, new hope, new dreams so that we can look at the future and sing like that guy we just heard. Wouldn't that be amazing? Like, if you really believe that, that the plans that God has for your life are just that good. But we're like, okay, old, dusty prophet guy. And sometimes we say this to Jesus, too. Look at the world, will you? Like, open up your eyes. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, you talk about pathetic fallacy, like, this weekend. Do you remember that literary term? Like, the weather reflects what's going on in your life or in the world? Like, look, like, open up your eyes. You're telling me that God's going to do something good tomorrow? Look at what's just happened. Look at what we're, look at lives lost, Jeremiah, and maybe Jesus. I'm not thinking about potential. I'm thinking about survival. When Jeremiah said these words to the people, do you realize that his people were in a place of great suffering? They were in a place of suffering, as are we oftentimes in our lives. They were in a place of exile. Like, Israel was a small nation, surrounded by huge nations that oftentimes oppressed them and sent them into exile. And when Jeremiah says this message to the people are in exile. They've lost their homes. Some of them have lost their families. They have nothing. They're slave people now. And Jeremiah says, I have plans for you. And they're like, really? Prophet guy? There's another book in the Bible that Jeremiah wrote. That's what we heard from. That's what Chris read. It's called Lamentations. And in that book, the people have prospered. This is about 80 years after Jeremiah first said, Jeremiah was young when he said this. All these generations later, two, maybe even three generations later, the people have prospered. The dream, the plan that God gave to the people has come true. But you know what happened? They forgot about God. And Jeremiah is so angry because everybody's turned their back on him. They prospered. They have big houses now. They have dates to big parties. And they're not going to listen to Jeremiah anymore. What do we need that for? What do we need messages from the God guy? We've got everything we need. And Jeremiah is destitute. And he's brokenhearted, and he's angry with the people, but he's also kind of angry at God for choosing him to be a messenger when nobody listens to his message. And that's when Jeremiah says this. He's brokenhearted, and he says, the steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. New every morning, I've always liked that song. Jeremiah believes that God will restore his strength and give him a new hope, even when the people aren't listening, even when the whole society has just gone somewhere else. And he knows that even though the people have forgotten about God, God will never forget about the people. And he says, it's new every morning. It's new. So for people here today, you just feel like you're stuck. You feel like you're in a dysfunction that is so cyclical in your life, it seems like it's genetic. And it's not just the prophet Jeremiah, as we're going to see in a minute. It's just all through the pages of the Bible, there's this message that says, look, if you trust me, and if you listen to my words, and if you apply my words to your life, it will be new life, new dawn, so you can sing that song like that guy we just heard and be that happy. Jeremiah believed it. Jesus believed it. Paul believed it when he wrote these words. The new creation has come. The old is gone. Yeah, but what about stuff that's been generational? What about stuff that my mom did and her grand? What about, like, stuff that you just can't? It's just a ditch. I dug that hole and I fell into it. I realized that, but I can't get out of that. It's like, I don't think so. The new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God. Wonderful promises, and we're like, okay, how does it work? How does it get real? Over the next 8 weeks, I want to answer that question. How does new life get real? Next week, as I said, I'm gonna look at a challenge. I'm gonna look at the challenge of having to maybe change some things in your life for the new life that God wants for you to get real in your life. But we're gonna spend 8 weeks unpacking that. I'm gonna call it "What God Will Grow in Your Life" is what I want to call the next 8 weeks. I'm gonna print that next week in a fancy, nice way with colors. What God will grow in your life so that you can reach your God-given potential, so you can break out of the same old. I wanted to call this message today same old, but I just didn't like it. It's not without challenges. I'm just going to say two things to finish up this morning, two things that are going to bring, this is the first two things I'm going to identify, and then it's going to carry on for 8 weeks. And here's the first step. When we talk about bringing new life into our lives, here's the first step. This is so simple. Get to know who Jesus is. It's the first step to experiencing the new life of Christ. Get to know him. Get to know who he was, what he taught, what he believed, how he acted, how he treated people. The disciples traveled with Jesus and they learned to see things in different ways. They just learned to see in a new way. Like when he came up to the woman at the well, they wouldn't talk to her because she was a Samaritan. She was unclean. No one talked to her. Jesus said, everybody is in the family of God. Everybody. And they learned to see in that new way. Kimberly has these glasses that she wears. They're yellow lenses, and they're about this wide so that they can fit over her prescription glasses. And they're the most ridiculous things you've ever seen in your life. But when she puts them on, she says it changes the darkest day into a beautiful yellow kind of bright, lighty day. And every time she drives in the dark or in the rain, she puts these huge glasses on. And she says, you should get a pair. And I said, I don't want a pair. I like my glasses. I don't want to make that change. But she says it just makes everything look different. And Jesus said, if you get to know me, and if you start to look through the lenses of my eyes, you're going to see things in a new way. And that's a huge part of how we get new life in our lives today. Just get to know Jesus. Where Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Instead of blessed are the ambitious and the clever and those who work hard even. He said, no. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the little ones. When children ran up to Jesus and the disciples were shooing kids away, because kids can be loud in worship sometimes, not always. And Jesus said, let the children come on to me. Because unless you become like a little child, you can't know the kingdom of God. And they're like, what? What does that even mean? And Jesus says there is something present in little ones, or in powerless ones, or in ones who hope, or in ones who are pure. There is something in that culture and in those people that will reveal to you who God is. And the world turns their back on that. It's a whole new way of seeing. And the disciples took a long time to finally get. What about Jesus said to people with money? Why do you invest in things that are so temporary? Why do you invest in things that rust and fade away? Invest instead in things that are eternal, like friendships, like caring for people. Invest in that. Invest in love. It's a whole different way of seeing the world. And the challenge when Jesus says, behold, I make all things new, is that this part of our lives that we really like, we might not want to change. The followers of Jesus watched miracles of healing happen, and they were amazed. And all the while these miracles of healing happened, all the while Jesus said over and over and over, love each other. They finally figured out that there was a connection between healing miracles and love each other. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is among you. And healing miracles happen. And all the while he said, love each other. And they said, where is the kingdom of God? We don't see it. And Jesus said, it's all around you. When you love each other. And then we got this part of our lives here. Where it's like, man, I have a hard enough time loving my neighbor, and Jesus wants me to love my enemy. You mean that has to change in order for me to have a new life? And in the end, the disciples made the greatest discovery of all at Jesus' resurrection, where they saw that even death was not as powerful as the things that Christ brings. They saw that even after death, there is something beyond. What a beautiful way to see your life. When I do funerals for people, it's palpable in the room whether or not people believe that they will see their loved one again. What a beautiful new way to see your life in the world. That's the new life of Christ. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. Doesn't matter how dark your day is today. Doesn't matter how much rain you have, and the miserable rain then turns into miserable snow. It doesn't matter, because even children know that after the clouds, the sun eventually will come out and things will start to grow again. All this is from God. Second thing. That was the first thing, but just one more. I was going to bring you two things that have to do with how you get the new life of Christ. Here's the second thing. Just put this word up. Grace. Do you know that God has never had any intention of ever holding your past mistakes against you? That's not how God works. God's all about grace. Do you know people who consistently throw things back at you, mistakes that you made in the past? Do you know some of those people? Like, you're like, that was 10 years ago. Like, I mean, really? You're going to hold that grudge? Like, and now you're putting it on my table and reminding me? You're just never going to let me forget that? Do you know any of those people? I hope you're not sitting beside one of those people who does that. That would be kind of, be a little bit awkward, really. But you know people like that. That's not grace. Grace keeps no record of wrongdoing. That's not me saying that. That's 1 Corinthians 13. What an amazing thing. Like, how can a God keep no record of wrongdoing? And Jesus says, look, you can be forgiven of anything. Now, you remember that story where the woman walks away after being forgiven, and Jesus says, you are forgiven, go and sin no more. I mean, we get that. Like, it's not like we go out and keep sinning and keep doing things, but Jesus, like, you can be forgiven of anything. And all through the Bible are these incredible stories of grace. And even into the Old Testament, where Abraham lies to save his own skin and puts his wife at risk. Or Jacob steals the birthright of his brother Esau. Or Moses murders a man in a crime of passion, in a fit of rage. These are people who went on to become leaders of God's people. Because that's what God is. God says, I'll give you another chance. I'll wipe the slate clean. Go and sin no more. Try it again. They're all imperfect people that become saints. A story. Some of you have heard this before. It's a story of grace from my life. About 30 years ago, I had what we call a call. That's kind of a theological term in some ways. I had a call into church ministry. And it was an exciting time for me. You talk about some new life and new beginnings and doors opening, and it was like a new thing. And I was convinced at that time that not only did people need to know about the God revealed through Jesus, but they wanted to know. And so many people didn't. They didn't. There was just never any door that opened up into any of that for them. And I was also convinced that I had certain gifts that would help those people come to know who this Jesus is. It was an exciting time for me. It still is. It still is. The fall I started seminary, I'm in my car, I'm driving. It was a beautiful October day. Gorgeous. Just before Thanksgiving. 18 degrees, sunny, driving. Driving along, and then there's a car behind me that beeps. And it wasn't a hello beep, it was, you're going too slow beep. And I looked in my rear view mirror, I'm driving, and I saw, and I was just immediately irritated that the guy behind me was beeping at me. Come to a stop sign, I'm sitting in the car waiting at the stop sign, he beeps again. And I hear him say, go, come on, go. I opened the door of the car. I walked right to the car behind me. I got right in his face because his window was open. And I said, what is your problem? And there's this kid sitting at the wheel, might have been 18 years old, and his girlfriend was sitting right beside him. And he's like, what's your problem? And I'm saying, don't be beeping at me. And I wheeled on my heel, got back into my car, closed the door, drove away. First year in ministry. What a lousy, pathetic representation of God I was on that day. Your admission has been revoked. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Thankfully, that's not how God works. I'm so thankful. That's what new every morning is about. Look, each one of us is wired to be ungodly. You know that. Like, each one of us has a sinful nature. I don't know about you, but I'm just feeling like I've always been dragged into old ways of being. And so God promises, you are forgiven. Try it again. You are forgiven. Go and sin no more. You're forgiven, and I'm here to help you. It's new every morning. It won't be the last time you stumble. So just try it again. That's grace. And grace is what will give you new life. Anybody ever forgiven you before? Do you know the power of being forgiven? There's no greater power in this life. There's one more part of that verse that I haven't shown you yet. All of this is from God. Therefore. The word therefore means now you have new life. Now you're starting to get it. Now you're starting to even be willing to put some of this stuff somewhere else and make changes. Therefore, now that you have that, I want you to be an ambassador. As though God was making his appeal through you. Which is to say, the gift of new life isn't really all about you anyway. God needs you to go out into the world and be an ambassador. That's the whole point of God wanting to give you something new. Because God so loved the world, remember. You go out and be a light unto the world and don't hide it under a bush. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. What's the earth like if it loses its saltiness? You're the salt of the earth. Jesus said, you are my body. So that people can feel my touch. And hear my voice even today. You are my body. That's why I'm giving you new life. I want you to go up. I want you to be me. I want you to be my ambassador. Over and over again. And so here's the question. Leave with this question. Think about it today. What new thing has God prepared for you in 2020? Second question. What new thing has God prepared for others through you in 2020?